Entertainment speaker is Christiana from Yucca Valley.
Wow. Okay. Hi. Couple of things. First of all, I'm an alcoholic. My name's Christiana. I always say I'm an alcoholic first because that's far more important than who I am. And I want to say thank you for asking me to come and speak. I really doubt you guys all showed up for me. So I'm glad you're here and you brought all your friends. Thanks. I am honored and privileged to stand at any podium in front of anybody and talk about Alcoholics Anonymous. If you know me, and I'm still fairly new in town, so a lot of you don't, I don't have a problem talking about me. What's a problem right now and what's making me nervous is that this is not about me. This is about me talking about what Alcoholics Anonymous has done in my life. And I could go on and on. I'm incredibly humbled by the opportunities I've been given, and one of them is to stand here in front of you and talk about what AA has done for my life. Another thing I want to say is I'm not the main speaker, and it only costs you guys $1, okay? So I'm not, like, a professional speaker, so don't be mad if it's not awesome. And if it's not awesome, I'm sure he's going to be awesome, so just fast forward through that part of the CD. Okay, so 10 minutes, really quick. What it was like for me is I did not drink to not feel. I didn't drink to, how do I want to say this? Okay, I don't drink stuff with umbrellas. I don't drink stuff I can't say when I'm drunk. Like, I keep it real simple, Jack and Coke, 7 and 7. I don't know what the hell a Midori Sour is, but my sister drinks them, and I think that's weird. Okay, I like to drink in places that have Harleys out front and bullet holes in the bar that play Johnny Cash on a real jukebox and have real darts that you can actually throw at people. Okay. So I don't go clubbing. And I don't pick up men at bars. I like to pick up men at parole offices, and that is a whole nother part of the story. I don't do that anymore. But I'm up here talking about what it was like. Okay. Because I can help them, right? I can help them. Like they say in the reading, sometimes I switched from Scott to Randy, and that's the truth. Okay, so what it was like for me is that okay, let's be serious for a second. There's a crack in the eye. Okay. I grew up in a household where my parents were how do I want to say this? My mom was chronically suicidal and incredibly depressed, which meant for me is that some days I would run home from school hoping to save her one more time, and some days I would walk home really, really slow. And that's how I grew up. And we also moved a lot. Like, I know how to be the new kid in school. I know how to talk to people, but I don't know how to keep a friend. I never went to the same school twice, and that's how I grew up. My father was like a crazy parolee biker and was in and out of jail and in and out of my life, and he'd show up whenever he was sober with a fistful of money and a lot of promises. And what I know is that today I know that heartbreak of wanting to be sober for your kids. When I think that I'm not, maybe not be an alcoholic, I think about how when I was pregnant and I still was drinking and I didn't want to. Like, I drank and I did other things for a long time when I did not want to. And if that's you and that's where you're at, I can tell you that there's a spiritual solution to your problem, and I found it here. You may find it somewhere else, and God bless you if you do. But this is where I found it, and this is the only thing that worked for me. Okay, so what it, What happened? What happened is that I turned 21 and standing in front of, on my 21st birthday, I was 9 months pregnant, and my husband was in jail, And soon after that, I stood in front of a judge and I got sentenced to 8 years in prison. And I know I don't look like that, right? I look sweet and I look innocent. What I can tell you is that walking into state prison was the first time in my life that I understood the rules. And I don't know if that makes sense to anybody but me, but I walked in there and I knew who I had to be and how I had to act and to maintain whatever sort of life I was trying to live. And I, because the whole rest of my life, I was confused. Like, I am the Me Too girl. Like, you guys want Chinese food? Me too. You want to rob a bank? Me too. Like, I just want to go. It wasn't until I was sober that I found out I don't like NASCAR at all, and I certainly don't like fishing. And I don't want to go fishing. Like, I don't want to do that either. Okay, so what happened for me is that I got out of prison the first time when I was after several years in prison, and I learned to make all kinds of things out of Top Ramen, and I had decided I was never going to drink or use again, and I meant it, and I went to meetings, and I did all this stuff, and I read the books, and I'm book smart. I don't have a lick of common sense, but I am book smart, and I read all these books, and they came and picked me up from Chowchilla State Prison, and I bribed the waitress to bring me a double 7 and 7 in the bathroom of Red Lobster. And that's the truth for me, is that my best intentions and my best hopes and all the information and all the fear that I was going to spend the rest of my life in prison and all the book knowledge will not keep me sober. And if that's you, me too. Okay? I subsequently went back to prison a second time, and when I got there the second time, I gave up, man. I gave up. And I tell this story because there's people that aren't here to tell their stories anymore. And one of the ladies that brought the message of recovery to me was in prison doing 15 to life. And the reason she was doing 15 to life was because on her third DUI, she got into a car accident and she killed her own 9-year-old daughter while she was drunk. And she told me, right? I know, that's crazy. And it sucks and it's tragic. And it could have been any one of us. That's the truth. And she told me that the 12 steps Alcoholics Anonymous had taught her how to forgive herself. And I don't know about you guys, but I've done some stuff that really hurt people. And I've done some things that, like my son learned his ABCs in a prison visiting room, and it breaks my heart. And when I had 6 years sober, I got to make amends to my grandmother that she had ever seen the inside of a state prison. And that's the truth for me. And so I thought maybe a program like that just might help, and maybe I'll try it one more time. So I got sober in 1995, that's not the sobriety date I have today. I have to say that when I had 10 years sober, I was in a car accident, and I was in a lot of pain, and the doctors kept giving me medication, and what happened for me is that I relapsed on medication. So I have to be really clear about the difference between pain and uncomfortability. I have to be really clear about if I'm in that much pain, you need to admit me to the hospital. And that's just me. And I don't think I have an original problem here in Alcoholics Anonymous. I think a lot of people have gone through that. But by the grace of a loving God who, and a lot of people who cared about me and cared enough to tell me the truth, like, hey, you're loaded. Not this guy. I don't mean this guy. I just mean people. Not that guy. Or I don't know. We'll find out later. But people told me the truth, and they were people that I trusted. And now, last month, I took 6 years again, and that's a gift. It's a freaking gift, because there are people that want it so bad, and they can't make their way back here. You know, 3 weeks before I came back to this program, I was sitting on the side of the bed with a shotgun in my mouth, and that's the truth. That's the truth. And 2 minutes left. Holy crap. Okay. So I qualify as an alcoholic, and what I can tell you is that AA has changed my life in ways that I couldn't have planned on. And here's what I can only tell you, like, what it was like and how it's like now. When I was in rehab, a bunch of us chicks, we all went to the community college and we took these little assessment tests. And I remember standing in the parking lot, and I was ashamed of how well I had done. Today, I am a full-time student at UC San Diego, which is how I ended up here in this wonderful, crazy town where it rains a lot. And I don't know anybody. And it's hard. And when people talk about time doesn't matter, what I can tell you is that all those years that I was sober in Yucca Valley and in Palm Springs, those relationships matter. So for those of you who are trying to make friends, like I am, and finding out that you're not that fucking friendly, because it's a lot of work to make friends. Like, I'd rather, I have to study, and I have a dog, and he's more entertaining, and there's stuff on my TiVo that I'd rather watch. But I need you guys. I need you guys. All you guys that stood up with less than 30 days, you guys are my heroes. You guys are my heroes because, because sometimes I need to remember that I'm closer to my next drink than I am my last one. And that we are all rowing towards the same harbor. And if I can leave you with anything with my little 30 seconds left, is that my soapbox is the unity of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I think that we are too hard on each other when we relapse. And we need to just freaking be nice to each other. Be nice. Hold each other up. Don't talk about, I have a different message if you are new. If you're new, I'm going to say this. Or if you're not ready, there's the exit like some sort of psycho stewardess. If you're here, welcome home. Welcome home. And we need to hold each other up and have unity together as we're all just trying to stay sober one more day. Because, man, time did not save me from relapse. What saved me was the relationships that I had built and the trust that I had, and the fact that there's a spiritual solution to my problem. And if you guys want to be sober tonight, me too. Thank you.